Hello, everybody. Welcome. I'm just hiding in the bathroom. I'm closing the door. I'm hiding in the bathroom that's inside my bedroom because my daughter is singing downstairs doing a virtual audition, and you probably don't want to hear her sing for our call today. All right. Well, I'm so happy to be here with all of you. It's been a couple of weeks. So much has happened since we've last gathered, and I've been thinking about each of you so much. And my intention is for us to really use our time together today to support you in any way that you need with your client work, with your programs, with your prospects, with your business, and for you to get not only outer pieces, but really on an inner level, exactly what you need to show up for your business, for your community, for your clients, for yourself, for your loved ones in the exact ways that you want. And so with that, let's take a moment and get centered and settled. Wherever you are, close your eyes and focus in on your breath. Inhaling and exhaling. With each inhale, open up, take in life. And with each exhale, release, let go. Really using the breath to connect deeply to this moment. Inhaling and exhaling and using the breath to connect deeply to yourself, to your heart, to what's important in this moment. And as you connect in this way, check in, do an inner check-in, and ask yourself what part of yourself needs to be present in order to move forward in the ways that you would like to move forward over the next week or two. What part of yourself needs to is required, or is really, it would be so valuable if that part of you were fully present, fully activated, so that you can move forward in all the ways you want to over the next week or two? Is it your confidence? Is it your courage? Is it your expert self? Is it your sensitive one? Is it your organized one? Is it your boundary setter? Which part of you? And whichever part it is that is needed right now, take a moment and connect with that part of you. Really connect with it. And ask it, what is it that you need to know from it? What does it want you to know? And take in whatever it has to say. If you don't understand what it's saying or you need more clarification, ask it. You can ask it whatever you want. And then take a moment and do whatever you feel called to do to connect more deeply with this part of you. If you are seeing it in human form, you may want to take hands with it. If you're just feeling it in your body, you may want to breathe into that space inside of you. Whatever it is. Take a moment and really go deeper in the connection and the integration and the activation of this part of you. Together, we'll take a nice deep breath in. Exhale everything out with a sigh. Allow your eyes to flutter open, bringing yourself fully present to our time together today. And take a moment and write down, you may already know exactly what you want to ask and bring forward, but if you don't, take a moment and just jot down for yourself, what is it that you would like support on today? How can I help you? We want you to feel free to come forward. There's space for everybody. I'd love to hear your voices. And so with that, I'll open up the floor for questions. Let me get us into the right mode here. Star two. Michelle.
Hi.
Hi.
Let me start by saying I appreciate this, and this is a perfect time for this. They're related questions. So, you know, my mom died almost a month ago on Sunday. I can't believe it's already that much time, but apparently it is. There's a dissonance between the season I'm in and the season my business is in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in some kind of winter.
Yeah.
My business is twerking on the town square. I'm sitting here like, what are you doing? the way that looks is, like, I doubled my Twitter followers. I have more people on my list and all this stuff. The first question is, how do I marry us?
Mm-hmm.
I have some preliminary thoughts. Like, I had a really great conversation with someone else who runs stuff for academics today, and I think part of this is, as I'm in winter, I'm starting to see the sparks of interesting things. Not sure what to do with them. And to cap it off, I lead a monthly online writing retreat, and I feel like it needs some zhuzhing. And the zhuzhing that I personally want to bring with it is to have people more connected to, I don't know, their soul as they write, but I feel awkward about that because I'm talking about this to academics, and I don't think for this particular group it would be that weird. That's my sort of set of questions for you.
Yep. Yeah, got it. So I can hear you, but it's like I feel like maybe somewhere along the line you moved wherever you were, and I can't hear you as well as when you started talking.
Oh, is that better?
Yeah, that is.
Okay.
So first, can we celebrate that your business in a lot of ways has a life? Like, you've created a sustainable business that has in some ways a life of its own and is doing its thing, even as you are in a winter phase. That's pretty incredible.
That's kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like, you know, this thing that when we set out to be entrepreneurs, we say, oh, you know, I mean, I think most of us do say, like, I want a business that can support me instead of me feeling like I'm always supporting my business.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like that's what your business is doing right now in some ways.
Yeah, that is true. Yes.
Yeah. So, yay. to look at how to marry where your business is at and where you're at, let's see if we can do this in a laser way. I mean, we'll see.
Okay.
It can take a little longer, but where are you at, first of all, just in terms of, well, let me ask this question first. What does your business want from you, let's say, over the next month? And if you don't know, you can actually ask it right now. What does your business want from you over the next month?
To love up the people in my community.
Mm. Yeah, good. And anything else?
Not that I can tell right now.
Yeah. Okay. And so then when you think about where you're at and the energy that it would take to love up the people in your community, is there a mismatch there?
No, actually.
Oh.
I feel like that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's funny. I think I've... Your question reveals that I think I've confused the external stuff, right? The getting followers and doing the list. You know, like I've conflated that with what I actually feel like to do.
Yeah.
Like I've been sending out newsletters and been really honest about myself in those newsletters and where I am. And I have been posting online again and, you know, and just... You know, and really in the spirit of community care, like that's what I have been doing.
Yeah. Yeah, so it actually feels like what's being asked of you right now is exactly where you're at. And what I'm also hearing in there, Michelle, is like actually the fact that you've been honoring that you're in winter and honoring where you're at is the exact action that's bringing on more followers. It's not, more is not required for that. In this moment.
Right. That's true. I think I'm just uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable because it's interesting. So when I loosen the grip,
uh-huh.
things happen, and that's
uh-huh.
really, really uncomfortable for me.
I know. It's like it's a whole new paradigm, right? It's like a whole new
right.
way of being, right? It's like the thinking is like, I have to do this and this and this and this and go through all of these hoops in order to get people more engaged and get new followers, blah, 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 blah. But wouldn't you know it, all this time, it's like, be who you are and where you're at, and that's what your business needs.
It's always what you needed.
Yeah. I hope I'm not overstepping, but just the thought that's going through my head, Michelle, is this is one of the gifts from your mom.
Yeah, no, you're not overstepping. It is.
Yeah.
Because she was the control everything to death paradigm.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like she leaves and it's like, so that's gotten you so far.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that. Like tears are coming to my eyes. I feel her kind of being like, and this is one of my parting gifts to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how does that feel so far in terms of having yourself aligned with where your business is at right now?
That actually feels really good.
Okay. Okay, great. In terms of the writing retreats, I love that you're wanting to bring the soul piece in. And I do also, it does also feel timely with all that you're going through right now. Like, of course, like you're going through the next evolution of your soul work.
Yeah.
And so it makes perfect sense that you're feeling called to, and that you're meant to bring that in to the work that you're doing with others. I have a feeling, and you can tell me if I'm getting this right or not, that your people are academics, but they're not run-of-the-mill academics. They're a particular kind of academic.
You're right. And, you know, I said that I was like, sometimes you have to ask the questions to clarify.
It's almost like
I don't need the answer. It's like, oh, right. So the people who have been coming are Native American people, right? They may not articulate it in academic circles, but they bring a deep sense of spirituality into what they do.
Yeah. Yeah. So being aware of that, it feels like you've already got it, but I'll just ask the question just in case. Like, so how do you want to present it? Like, how can you present it to them in a way that's just going to totally resonate? My sense is it will.
Well, the people who are, I know, will definitely come, are finishing dissertations. And so I think what I want to bring in is to connect as they finish, and with all of the challenges that are endemic in that process, to take a moment to connect them with their deep why.
Mm-hmm.
What does that have to do with themselves? What does that have to do with their people?
Yeah. Yeah. I love it.
And I can do that in a very simple meditation kind of a thing.
100%. Yes. And you could also do a writing exercise where they kind of, you wouldn't use the word channel necessarily because that's probably too woo, but ask them to write from the voice of their community, of their people, of their heart, you know, whatever language you want to use. To get to some of those deeper levels, too.
I love that. I like that.
Okay, good.
That's a zhuzh I can live with.
Awesome. Yay!
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. I think this is Nicole. Is this Nicole?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Nice to hear your voice again.
You too.
Yeah, the questions at the beginning were already very helpful. So I get a part of my answer, I guess, but I still want to ask you some things because the thing is, two weeks ago, time is really strange these days. But
yeah,
I don't know even what day it is. It's Wednesday, yeah. So I did a mini workshop for the first time since the pandemic. We could do it live. It was a small, there were 20 leaders in the workshop. And at the end of the workshop, which was very nice to do, there's a lot of energy. I love doing it, although I felt some tension to do it live. And at the end, I did some kind of offer. I didn't prepare it too much, but I said there are two ways you can work with me. It's one-on-one, or I'm thinking starting some kind of mastermind. And I already talked about this with you earlier in some other clinical, but I didn't show up. I think I got scared. I had a lot of ideas in my head. So I did some kind of offer, and they could fill in a form and tell them and tell me if they're interested, I'm going to call them. So a lot of people are interested. So I was, oh, my God, now I have to show up. It's only a phone call, and I have a lot of ideas around the mastermind, but now I get completely stuck in my head. should it be 3, 4, or 5 months? Do I choose some topics? How can I work on that? How I'm going to do the call? So a lot of questions in my head. So I love the questions at the beginning of this call. What part of myself needs to be present? I think it's confidence and the expert self. But I need some clarity on this one. So I thought, well, I have to ask you some, well, I have to ask you this. So I have to show up now and I get stuck in
my
head.
You know, it's like you're a part of you. For as much as you weren't wanting to show up, there's another part of you that really wanted you to, because you made the call to action. You know, like you set yourself up. So
yes, I did.
It's great.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm so happy that so many people are interested. Okay, so we may not be able to, you know, map out all the details in this laser coaching, but I'll ask you a couple of things. So, number one, who is the mastermind for, and what is the top one or two results that this person wants?
It's for women leaders, decision makers, and I think their top one or two results are that they are, in these challenging times, they make better choices on their terms. And I focus on their terms. What are your terms in these times? I don't know if that's very clear, but I want them to connect with each other. So it's kind of to community setting. And because I think in the workshop, it already happened. They were connecting. I was connecting. And well, I'm a facilitator. I learned a lot from last year in Charlotte to facilitate.
I saw you soaking it all up.
So.
I'm so glad to hear that you're putting all of that to use. Good.
Yeah. It truly helped me. So now I'm here and I have to show up. So I think the top one or two results are, I think they will be better leaders in the way they feel more stronger. They show up themselves, I think. They want to show up as well for themselves, for their families, and for their company. I think that will be the result.
So, okay, great. So what I'm hearing is the results are, number one, that they're going to be more empowered in their choices, that they're going to take the reins in their choices, that they're going to make those choices from a more authentic place inside of themselves, and also in general, they are going to show up in their leadership as more authentically them. Okay, good.
What are
they going to, and this is the part where we may not, you know, get to all of it right now, but we can start a little bit. What will they need to learn or experience or shift in order to get to that end result? What are they going to need to learn or experience or shift in order to get to that end result?
I think they need, I don't know if it's the exact terms, I think self-confidence, really a deep dive in their values. I think that will help them. And what it means for them to show up. What does it bring them? And I think they will experience to show up in the mastermind, or what do I call it? But I think showing up is an important part, because you have to speak up. You have to, well, some kind of activist. I think leadership is also about activism, and because you believe in something. So I think the values are very important. To really, values are, you can look at it in a mental way, but they have to show up in, well, in all four levels of learning, let's call it that way.
So it seems like there's three modules, right? There's values, there's confidence, and then there's showing up, and the word that I'm also hearing there is courage.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I would do next, Nicole, is look at each of those three topics and create mm-hmm. some subtopics under each. Like, what specifically would you want to take them through in terms of exploration and commitment to their values? What specifically mm-hmm. would you want them to learn or experience in terms of the competency, so on and so forth?
Oh,
and that
yes.
will then allow you to see how long, how many classes that, you know,
yes.
shape it from there. And, of course, you know, if you want some more support once you do that, you can share it and, you know, we can go from there. But does that feel next
yeah.
step for you around this?
Yeah. And I recall myself, I've got curriculum lab. I can
That's right.
The dots.
That's right. I was going to say go
yeah.
also back to curriculum lab because
yeah.
that will help you with all of the little details in there.
Yeah.
For
and,
sure.
But can you call it a mastermind? Because well, I love the topics of values, confidence, and showing up and courage. Because sometimes a mastermind seems like a place of community and sharing,
yeah.
but I also
so
want to have some content in it.
Yes. So, you know, the term mastermind has gotten very watered down in
yeah.
the industry.
Yeah.
But I hear you that you want it. It's not just a class, right? It's not just you
no.
teaching at them. So that's when we get to some of more of the, like, details. How are you going to set that up, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
if you're going to call it a mastermind, probably
mm-hmm.
in addition to training calls, like let's say you had two training calls a month, the other two
mm-hmm.
weeks a month, you might want it to be more of a Q&A situation or
yeah.
discussion call or
exactly.
You know that kind of circle of leaders call with discussion.
Yeah.
You can
yeah.
still have Q&A in on the training calls themselves, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But
yeah.
But you'll also want more community calls, coaching, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
If you're going to call it a mastermind.
Yeah. So I can call it a mastermind. I can also explain what's in it. It's also training
yeah.
calls, but discussion, sharing, inspiration. It's like a circle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, really helps
Exciting.
Me. I have to show up.
yeah, so you don't have to, you choose to.
Exactly. You're so right. And I will share in the Facebook group if I have some questions
okay.
around it. And yeah,
wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're
mm-hmm.
welcome. Really exciting. Okay. Kara.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
My daughter's in preschool today, so I'm just like, whoa!
Free time!
it's a new reality. So what I would love to work on came through in the opening grounding, and I feel like there's more that wants to come forward on this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm leading a new group of coaches, and it's like my biggest group, 12 women, and they're all like, I think like half of them are Enneagram 8, just like strong opinions. And I've had a few times one time it was right after George Floyd, and we sort of addressed the moment, but I just didn't name, like, a Black man was killed again. And so one of the Black women in the group called me out and just said, like, just say his name, please. And it was such a powerful learning for me, and I was so grateful for it. And in the moment, I could feel, like, my little girl self being like, oh, my God. And then last week I had another woman who was just talking about how she felt like her story doesn't matter. And I listened to her and I reflected something about how I'm holding the story work at this time. And then I asked her, you know, was that helpful? And she kind of barked back, like, I'm not looking for help. My inner, like, good girl feels like excited and shaken with this group. And, those are some of the sort of the more prominent examples, but there's this undertone of, like, really powerful energy in this group. And the message that I got for myself in the meditation is, like, you got this. But I want to work with the energy that I'm noticing in myself, which is when those things happen. And I think I handled everything and, like, made space for everything. But wanting to work with, like, leaning in energetically more versus, like, just that, holy shit, I did something wrong, sort of inner unraveling that I'm trying to hold at bay in the moment.
Yeah, it feels like not only is this a powerful group of women, but they're bringing you a very powerful learning and invitation into your next evolution as a leader. What are they inviting you into specifically? You started to talk a little bit about it a minute ago, but go a little further. What's being asked of you? What are you being invited into?
What I see is, like, a visual of a really solid space holder, who is holding a powerful space that is not about me. And is truly in service of the people who have showed up.
So tell me if I'm getting this right. I know that you are a powerful space holder already, but what I'm hearing is the before, I think of these times that we're in right now as, like, before and after, and, like, the before structures are kind of falling away. We're not quite in the after. We're, like, in this liminal space right now. But the before structure that is falling away is Kara is holds a really strong container and a really strong space. But when there is pushback, she shrinks and makes it about her. And the what you're being called to is Kara holds a really strong space. And when there is pushback, she opens up even more to see where her leadership is needed. Or to see what the needs are. How does that feel just as we, as I say it that way or lay it out, or is there anything you want to tweak about what I just laid out?
I mean, I love the idea of opening even more. And I love opening even more to see where my leadership is needed, because there's a way that when those things happen that I want to, like, not be leading the group. Like, oh, shit, shit, this is me, especially on Zoom, right, when you're just, like, one of the boxes, like, all the many boxes. Like, yeah. What if I just press delete right now? Like, exit the whole thing.
Yeah.
So there's, yeah, there's something about making it not about me and sort of making it about holding the space, but also can, and I think the practical application of that might be thinking more about a question versus a defense.
So depending on the situation, well, never
depending
a defense,
on the situation,
right? Never a defense,
yeah.
But like with the first situation, the response wouldn't have been a question. It sounds like you responded the exact right way. You apologized,
yeah,
and you corrected, right?
Yeah,
and honored. For the second situation, yeah. So and what's remember back to sacred depths is in order to. Not get defensive in order for it not to be about you and in order to ask a really good question, what's required underneath that is curiosity. So
right.
What I'm hearing is the old reaction is when there's pushback is to just shrink and make it about you.
Right.
What we want the new response to be is when there's pushback is for you to get curious.
And what I liked about what you said is like, where is my leadership needed? And I think it's there's something about being curious and also continuing to own that I'm holding this space and I'm leading this space for the all everyone who's there.
Yeah.
That is part of the new story too. I don't know exactly what that means practically, but just the energy of that.
Well, what it kind of makes me think of, Kara, is that in the religious community that you were in, leadership could never be questioned.
Right.
And I think that you've internalized that in a way of not like in the religious community, it was like if the leadership was questioned, then there was a punishment or, you know, whatever it was. But I think you've internalized it as, oh, if my leadership is being questioned, I've done something wrong.
Right.
Whereas, actually, you know, to use a term that Nicole was just using, and this is my belief, and you can tell me if it's true, like in authentic leadership, leaders want to be questioned. They welcome it. I get chills as I say that. Like, does that land for you?
Yeah. And I think, I mean, truly, as I think about this second woman that brought up, I mean, she just was like wanting to be in the question.
Yeah.
And she was, I didn't have the energy that she was questioning me, but I took it as her questioning me. And I think that's probably why she was like, well, I wasn't actually asking for help. But yeah, I think there's that old paradigm that, the leader isn't questioned and everyone just sort of respects what the leader does. And even if it's questionable.
Right. So I think that there's like big opportunity there for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then just the other thing that I just heard that I'll point out for now, there's two other things I just want to kind of say, I'm going to give you homework, but the other thing is always remember, this is like one of the first things we learn in Sacred Depth. Before you coach, know what the person's intention is, whether it's one-on-one
right.
or in a group, right? So
right.
I want you to see where you can insert, even in the group, like if somebody brings something up before going to help them or still find a solution or whatever it Is there a moment where you can say, what is it that you need right now?
Right. Yeah, and that's super helpful because I have this way of starting my groups where I have everyone sort of say something, and I often feel the need to sort of reflect or coach, but I don't really need to all the time. And
sometimes it's about the power is about just being heard, right? So that's just a good reminder for you and everybody else. And then the homework I want to give you, Kara, is so I think that there's two pieces here. One is that internalized issue around never question the leader. So doing, I think, just some more journaling around that would be good. And then the other is you can do some journaling. I think the other end of things is like the little girl who, when she gets questioned, shrinks. You know, so just connecting in with her, doing some journaling with her, I think will be helpful just to tie together everything we've been talking about today.
Awesome.
How is all of this feeling? What are you, I know there's lots of little pieces we spoke about, but what are you at your core taking for yourself from all of this?
Curiosity. Welcoming the question, the being questioned, and knowing the intention of speaker or asking about that if needed are really helpful.
Good. Good, good, good.
Thank you.
Thank you. And you're welcome. Okay. Let's see. Who's next? Star 2, Stephanie.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
Hey. So I have more of sort of a businessy structure call that I would love some support with. So I've been teaching an online class for a while now, and it's been sort of I don't have it ongoing enrollment. I open it up for a period of time, and then I close it down again. And what I've been doing is, like, during that month that the course is live, I do a Facebook group and I do live Q&As to support people with any questions that come up. But I've had a number of people who, you know, they want to take the class, but then I'm like, oh, but wait, it's not open yet. And I'm really feeling called to make it more evergreen. And I'm just wondering, like, I don't really want to lose the ability for folks to ask questions of me, either in, like, a forum or, like, during a live Q&A, but I'm not sure how to, like, structure that if I'm having people coming in at all different times, because I don't want to be, like, indefinitely available to people, so, like, figuring out how to structure me being able to offer that support in a limited way with a class that's always taking new people in. Does that make sense?
I think so. Yeah. So tell me if I'm getting this right. It's you kind of want to move to being able to let people in to start whenever they want to start, as opposed to just the specific times where this month here or that month there. Am I getting it right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And would you be open, and when you're doing it now, how many live calls do you have?
I was doing 2 over the course of a month, so every other week.
Would you be open to doing 2 live calls a month?
What I was thinking is maybe making it just 1 live call, and then having some sort of forum for people who have questions outside of that?
1 live call, you can, if that's what you're feeling called, I always trust in, you know, intuition. If that's what you're feeling called to, yes. The thing with 1 live call a month is that it's not, it's a little hard on the container, you know, like people may show up or not show up for it if there's the one chance. Mm-hmm. But if that's, you know, where you feel like your time is at and how much time you want to devote to it, then I'd say go for it. If the program feeds into something bigger, then you probably do just want a little bit of a tighter container, and it would be worthwhile to have the two live calls a month. And then if you wanted to put kind of some limits on the forum, you can do that however you want. You can say, like, you have office hours in the forum, you know, every Tuesdays and Fridays, you know, and you answer questions. You know, they can post the question whenever they want, but sometime whenever the next Tuesday is or the next Friday or whatever it is when it's going to get answered by you.
Yeah, I was thinking more limits in terms of, like, time frame. Like, if someone's entering this course, I don't want to be, like, available to answer their questions, like, 2 years later.
Oh, I see. Yeah, so they can be in. I think if you're going to do it more in an open way of that open container, I would put, like, a 3 month. And it's 4 weeks worth of material or whatever, I'd put like a 4 month limit on it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, Stephanie, I want you to think about the business model. If this program feeds into something else, giving people 3 or 4 months with like a loosey-goosey container, you're going to lose them before you have the opportunity to invite them into the next thing.
Right. And it does sort of feed into, I mean, not everybody will, but it does sort of feed into this larger coaching offering that I'm building out right now.
Mm-hmm. If it does, then I wouldn't set it up this way. I think you're going to lose people in translation.
Wouldn't make it evergreen, do you mean? Or
if you made it evergreen and you wanted it for people to advance into this next thing, I would have the I would have more than one live call a month. I would stick to the two, and I would put some like email reinforcement, you know, that just goes out automatically. You know, maybe you have a sequence set up where there's an email that goes out every week, kind of reminding people to do the work, to get on the calls, to, you know, ask a question in the forum, how is it going, you know, that kind of thing. And then they would get like the call to action email, you know, somewhere around like the fifth or sixth week.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so, and this is a great, I'm glad that this is coming up because it's, you know, it's such a good reminder that oftentimes in our businesses, it's not just about taking into consideration the one program. It's like, how does everything, especially in a smaller program like this, how does one thing fit into the next? Because that is also going to determine how you set it up.
Right. Yeah, and like I enroll people into this bigger coaching program sort of on an ongoing basis too. So that's also evergreen. I guess my intention of making it evergreen is so that I'm not losing people, the folks who are like,
I totally get it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense, and you can absolutely do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying if you want a high conversion rate from the people that go into this, into the coaching program, have a little bit of a tighter container in there so that they get the result that they wanted in a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah.
They don't just let it sit, and then they're ready for the next thing.
Totally. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. I think part of my nervousness of continuing to hold 2 calls a month is like, oh, what if in July only one person registers and then I'm doing
this. Well, I was going to say that then it would also mean ramping up some marketing a little bit for it. You know, the other way you can do it is just do it every other month. So that way if like you're doing it in July, but not June, but somebody's interested in June, they just have to wait like 3 weeks before it gets started. Mm-hmm. And that way you can still hold the tighter container and achieve all the things that we're talking about. And then I would just say, is I don't know if you have like a regular newsletter that goes out or whatever it is, but I would just always be mentioning the program in every, and you know, like sometimes it'll be a bigger like actual email for the program, but even just in your regular newsletters, just always be mentioning, you know, the next group is starting kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a constant reminder to people if they want to step in.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I've been squeamish about marketing. Just part of my desire to make it evergreen is like, oh, I now have to do like a big campaign again now that I'm launching it for this month. And I just feel like I'm bugging people about it.
I think what would happen is if you did it evergreen or every other month is that you'd really only do a bigger launch maybe twice a year. If you really didn't want to do twice, I'd say twice a year. But the rest of the time, like I said, it would just always be in the background, mentioned in a newsletter, mentioned in a social media once or twice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that it's there isn't so much pressure all the time to fill it, but it's more of like an ongoing thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. Who is this? 8451.
That's me, Joanna.
Hi. I thought that might be good.
Hi. Hi. So, already taken in a lot from what the other women have asked. Did have something because I think it's important, but just some came up this week. That I think I really support with around our prospects.
Wait, Viv, I'm only hearing like half of every word that you're saying.
Okay, I'm in the like secret back room here. Hold on.
I understand. I'm in hiding in the bathroom as well.
Any better now?
Yeah, that's a little better.
Okay. Let me see. Hold on. Let me just. Okay, they're in their room. So we're good. Okay. So can you hear me now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm not surprised it came up, but I had a client for the first time in a long time. A prospect came to the second call and she was like, you know, I want this. And stepping into this, you know, inner and all of it was right there. She's like, I want this. I would love to step in the 9-minute program. It's just that money there. And it sounds crazy. I haven't had that happen for so long. And a lot of that is because my rates haven't come up. But when I think about next year and I envision where I want to go, I think having my rates come up is going to be a really important part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is going to come up more often, but I haven't had to walk across a lot of resistance in the past. And so I thought this was a great opportunity because I want her to, it's not like I want her, I want this for her so much, and I want to support her in that in the best way that I can.
Mm-hmm.
So it just, I haven't really needed or had to do a lot of that before, but I can see that it may come more in the future. When that comes up, and I guess might as well stick with her example. I mean, for her, how can I walk her through that and support her? And I kind of like fandangled it at the time and like got a, you know, kind of reconnected her with her vision a little bit. And we talked a bit about getting creative and, you know, a little bit. And we're going to reconnect this next week, actually. But I know that there is something that I could have done to help her reconnect in with why this is so important and why she is so important and why taking care of herself is so important right now.
Yep.
That makes sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. So I think you're really on the right track. And what do you notice the energy in your voice as you're talking about what you want for her?
I don't know. I don't. Well, I think, I mean, it's how I feel about, it's like, yeah. I just want this so much for her.
Yeah.
It's like, I just like believe in her. Like she's like, you know, she's had a lot happen in the past and I can just, yeah. So that's all I.
Yes. So So what I hear as you're talking about her is your commitment, your devotion, admiration for her, belief in her. You want to bring all of that energy to her.
Okay.
Okay. A lot of the time when somebody does have the money in the bank, but they say that something is too expensive, what they actually mean without even realizing it is that I don't believe in myself enough to achieve the result that I want, and therefore it is too much money to spend.
Okay, yes.
Does that feel applicable to this person?
Yeah, it does. Because I feel like if people don't come into the second call, like they know, they're like, this is not for me. But like, mm-hmm. she's like right there. And so that, and that's the thing that I think I was missing. It's about her believing in herself is what you're saying.
Yes, exactly. Some of it, she may need to believe a little more in you, but I think she does.
Yeah.
I think it's believing in, right? Because if we don't believe that we can achieve the result that we're going to invest money in, then why invest the money in it, right?
Yes.
So what I would do is I would send her an email before you speak next, you know, today, tomorrow, whenever it is.
Yeah.
And with that energy of belief in her and also like devotion, you know, and speak about why you think, you know, whatever her vision was.
Yes.
Speak about why you think it's so achievable for her. Why, what resources she has inside of her in order to make it happen. What are the things the two of you will do together to get her there and that you really believe in her?
Yeah, so it's almost like helping her walk through her, like helping her walk through it.
Exactly. So So I would show her, I would in that email walk her through why she can do it, right? Like all the reasons. But also I would repeat the bridge pieces because those are also about like how you're going to do it together.
Yes. Yeah, that it's
and
not.
And if it can start to feel realistic to her that she can actually get to that end point, then if she has the money in the bank and she really wants the end point, then it's not going to feel too expensive.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, she had mentioned that she felt like her head and her heart were like having two conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And my feeling is that this can address both. Actually, it can help her mind like understand the process and then also have her heart feel heard and know that it has a place in this work as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. good.
Thank you. This is good learning for me. It's like, I know that, like, part of me is always like, I don't know this isn't this thing. I don't have to cope with it a whole lot. So I'm just going to, like, keep on going. But now this is really good for me to learn about.
No, I'm glad. It's always, right, like, it's always a process. I'm always learning more within women. I'm glad you brought it up because it's good for everybody. Awesome. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Joanna.
All right. Tammy.
Hello.
Hi.
As you know, I have my last circle for my 9-month program on Saturday. And this happened to me last year too. And it, you know, it goes with like how I do things, but you know, I don't have an idea of what next year brings for me. Like, literally, I don't know if I'll be in New York or somewhere else. And, like, so I haven't really figured out what I'll be offering next year when it comes to programming. So as far as, like, you know, offering them something to step into again, I'm not sure, you know, what that is. I do feel a calling to do some sort of support for women. I just don't know if it's going to be this, you know? So I'm just curious your thoughts, you know, as I kind of close the circle and, you know, let them know what is to come. Well, of course, I don't really know what's to come, and I can kind of openly say that, you know, and, you know, someone already said to me, are you doing another one? She's like, I'd love to do it. Like, we need this, you know?
The best time to sell something is when people are still in the container.
I know.
Once they're out of the container, it's harder. Mm-hmm. I get being in the mystery. Does it have to do mostly with not knowing where you're going to live, or are there other pieces?
I mean, I'm at the fatigue stage, so like part of me is like, I don't want to fucking do this again.
Yeah.
You know, so my, like, my heart space to it is, like, just tired, so it's not, like, feeling the love around it, so there's definitely a little resistance. I'm sure part of it's, like, I can't do another great one, you know, like, so there's lots of layers to it.
I already did 2 good cycles, amazing cycles, so the next one is going to suck. Yeah.
Exactly.
Of course. That is perfect logic, by the way.
Yeah. there's, you know, there's definitely a little resistance, but there's also the not knowing.
Yeah. Okay, I feel like we can get over the hump of the next one's going to suck.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel like we can get over the hump, not in this second, we can work on, like, the exhaustion piece. I'm just going to tell you, like, and this may not resonate for you, but I just want to tell you what I think, which is that for those of us that are really care about making an impact and supporting our clients, the first couple times that we lead a bigger, like what you've done, you know, like a longer group, we put out more energy than we actually need to overcompensate for whatever fear we have of it not being good enough, for better or worse. Not that we have to, but a lot of us do. I certainly have been there, and I feel like you've
I agree. Yeah.
You've done your time, you know, and so if that resonates for you, like, we can look at how to move forward either with the program as is or possibly making some tweaks, but I don't think it has to take up so much of your energy, especially now that you've done it and you have a certain level of mastery when it comes to the group.
Nice.
Of that land.
Yeah, totally. And I feel like this year, like, for quarantine was like, you know,
yeah,
the other piece I had to totally like go out of my way to make like magnificent ways to hold space for these people. I definitely expended more energy than I should have.
Yeah.
Or, you know, so yeah.
So I want you to sit with that, and if it could be less exhausting, would you want, you know, and we only know as far as we know into the future, and, you know, if 2020 has taught us already a couple of lessons, one of the big things I think it's taught us all is, like, we just never know, you know. But what I want you to sit with is, if it could be less exhausting, would you want to offer it? And if you did, what would want to be different? And you can share that with me, and then we can go from there. But my sense is that's the big piece in this.
Yeah.
And then if something needs to change, it needs to change. You know, we've all experienced that over the last few months, and it can be worked out.
Yeah, I mean, like, motivation-wise, financially, it's been really nice to have this. I mean, it's definitely what helped me this year. Sorry, my son has a class issue. I got to deal with this. maybe you can come back to me.
I will, yeah.
Okay, thank you, sorry.
Okay, it feels actually like good, like fit with what we just spoke about, and
okay.
I'll come back to you.
All right.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. Inbal.
Hey, Joanna. I'm wondering if you can actually come back to me.
No,
if
just
there's
because
someone
you're
else.
The last
okay.
person. Let me see. Does anyone
awesome.
Else want to ask a question? Star two. Anyone else have any other questions? Oh, no, you lucked out, Inbal. Somebody does. Hold on
awesome.
A second. I'll come back to you.
Oh.
Christine, hold on. My computer is being a little slow. Here we go. Christine.
Great. Can you hear me?
I can, yeah.
Excellent. Nice to hear you. It's been a while.
Yeah.
I was in class yesterday, so that was exciting too. But I missed the first few minutes, so I'm not sure what these beautiful questions you asked are. So if my question seems a little ignorant, that's because I missed that first bit.
No, I'm sure.
The questions that the ladies have asked, particularly about the, they've been great, but there's one particular question I'm just wondering about. We've talked about slowing down. So I'm planning to have a Zoom conversation rather than a workshop. So really a group of women, young women, because I work with millennials, and I've had, you know, last week I wasn't able to have my live interview because I lost a cousin of mine. But otherwise, every week I have a conversation. It's about 45 minutes. And this month it's about young women and all things, you know, that are thrown at, you know, African women culturally, religiously, and that kind of thing. So I want to have a two-hour conversation at the end of the month. And I'm wondering how to slow it down. You know, we've talked about slowing it down. Let them go back. Let them think about it. And I'm tempted to pack so much because they've asked lots of questions. But I'm really wondering what is the key? How would I best serve them in 2 hours? Is
yep.
the question I have.
Tell me the topic again. Just give me a little more detail.
It's called Exploring the Feminine. So and in this case, we've even invited, well, I've put it out there that if there's there's a man who embodies feminine energy, you know, or a man who is keen to understand the loved ones around him, you know, daughter, lover, colleagues, whatever, they're also welcome. But the core is, the underlying thing for me, my personal agenda is, you know, letting them go out there knowing that they are enough, knowing that what they have closeted, their shadow self, is enough. That wouldn't necessarily come up in 2 hours, but my intention would be for them to walk away feeling, you know what, I've got this. I might not have understood all of it, but I've got it.
And when you say I've got it, you mean to understand their feminine side and how that moves through them and what,
yes,
how
to the have power
to it, to the power of it.
The
yeah.
power of
and
being feminine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. And just from other things you've told me, I'm going to make this assumption, but tell me if I'm getting it right. The reason why these millennials would step into this workshop is because they want their relationships
yes.
with their partners to be yes. better and for them to feel more empowered in their relationship.
Absolutely. And that in the workspace, to add to that, you know, in the workspace, they want to feel a lot more empowered. I mean, mm-hmm. the kind of questions that have come up, is it feminine to get into office politics or not? You know, should I, you know, is it feminine to be ambitious or not?
Yeah.
You know, that's, so
yeah.
so yes, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, good. So if you want this to be more than like a teach at them, which I'm hearing,
mm-hmm.
this is what you want it to be a real conversation.
Yes.
There are a couple of things, so yes, to slowing it down and not stuffing it with
mm-hmm.
a million things. I'll give you a couple of things to think about that will help
okay.
with all of that.
That would be
helpful.
Yeah.
So number one, at the start, and approximately how many people do you think are going to be present?
Do I hope will be present? This is the very first time. You know, you and I have spoken about workshops before, and, you know, for whatever reason, they never took off. And I keep asking, was it me who didn't want to show up? Or was it just circumstances? And then, of course, Corona hit, and I let those go. So this is the very first one I'm having. It will be Zoom, over Zoom. And I'm hoping that at maximum would be 16, I really think, for us to have a fruitful conversation, one that is, you know, controlled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so hopefully 16 somewhere
yes.
in there. Okay, so at the very start,
mm-hmm.
After you introduce the topic and, you know, all of that,
yeah,
you want to make sure that you say that this isn't going to be you teaching at them. That the
yes.
way that they're going to get the most out of this, the way that they're going to be able to be more empowered in their relationships and in the workplace and in their family and in every area of their life,
mm-hmm.
Isn't for you to just tell them this, 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 and that, but for mm-hmm. them to, for there to be real deep exploration and for
yes.
there to be a conversation.
Right.
And that you've designed the group intentionally
mm-hmm.
to be on the smaller side
mm-hmm.
because the power here isn't just about the content that you're sharing. It's
mm-hmm.
about the interaction. And
yes.
you really want to encourage them to speak up.
Mm-hmm.
And to share and, you know, all of that, right? So you
right.
want to really make sure that you mention that.
Okay.
And then from there, you know, I always at the beginning of anything, any kind of group, you know, anything, I always like for people to be clear on why they're there so that they're
yes.
more invested in staying and showing up fully, right? So I would ask some questions
yes.
around, like, where are the places in your life that you want to change? Where are the places
yeah.
that you want to feel more empowered? Where are the places where you want to be able to bring more of your feminine side in a powerful way? And why?
Right.
Why do you want to change those areas, right? So that they really get invested, and you know, and you can have shares with 16 and under. You know, depending, like I would say 10 and under, I would definitely, at least for that first question, have each person answer for, you know, give them 30 seconds to just say their name and why they're there, right, after they journal on that question. 16, it might be getting a little bit longer for everybody, but you certainly can, just so that, because once your voice is heard, it's like you've broken the seal. You know, they've broken the seal, and then they're more willing to share more, right?
Absolutely.
Because they've already
kind
of stepped over the vulnerability line.
Yes, in a way. I feel like that each time I speak. So yes, I agree with you.
So have that all be the backdrop, and then you know, and I skip. I said it quickly before, but just to emphasize, before you get into participating and all of that, you want to speak for a few minutes in the beginning in a really inspiring way about why they're here, about what's possible when they really step into the power of the feminine, you know, so on and so forth, so that they hear your voice, they feel inspired, all of that. Anyway, after all of that and they share, then probably, you know, you'll be about 15, 20 minutes in at that point. And I would think about, like, what are the three main topics? Because you can't, you're not going to cover all of, you know, how to harness the empowering feminine. But what are the three main topics that are going to be most valuable for this group, at least to start off with?
Yes. And yeah, I like that start off with, because that's what I was thinking. If this were to continue, you know, what's the foundation? What are the foundation topics, so to say?
So I think of two or three. You know, if it's three, it's probably going to be about 30 minutes each.
Right.
If it's two, it'll be a little bit longer, 40, 45 minutes each. And think of each of those sections as maybe you are teaching something for somewhere between five, 6, 7 minutes.
Yeah.
And then maybe you ask some journaling questions, two or three, based on what you just taught.
Yes.
And then you open up a discussion about it.
Wow.
And then you move on to the next topic, right?
Okay.
And then once you kind of go through the two topics or the three topics, you still want to have about 10 minutes in the end for wrap up, for takeaways, for next step actions, you know, et cetera.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's lots of more details we can go into, but does that give you kind of a good
This is extremely good. Okay, this is extremely good. Not just this is really good. I'm so grateful. I am so grateful. I really am. When I asked that, I didn't even know I was going to ask. And then when you know, there was this opportunity, I thought, okay, I haven't actually framed my question. So this is really, I've walked away with a lot. Thank you.
Okay. You're so welcome. Good.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna come back to Inbal and then to Tammy. Inbal.
Hi, Joanna. Thank you. So I wanted to ask, this was very up for me a few weeks ago, and then we had a couple of weeks break with the calls. But basically, this is a client who is wanting to figure out grad school, but we're really looking, there's just like so many different pressures that come up for her. And anyway, so there was a situation a couple of weeks ago where she was really dealing with some shame that was coming up around what happened like a few years ago before she got into her current job. And so one of the issues is that for me, like as a coach, is that, you know, she was mentioning this shame, but I didn't get into the shame with her. And part of it was taking, you know, kind of like this easy way out. And part of it is that I had a major
So I had to kind of like work with myself to forgive that, because I had had like a major shame thing like 2 days before and it was still kind of ripe.
Mm-hmm.
And I was exhausted. And now, so we have our next session this week, and we've been communicating on email. A lot of the things that are coming up right now are about her privilege and how she thinks she has to suffer, or she can't do what she actually likes because she has privilege, to kind of like undo the privilege. And we've been kind of, so there's, just like a lot going on in terms of shame and privilege. The privilege I'm much more, like more comfortable with, because we've been looking, I just kind of introduced like some tenets of white supremacy that I think are influencing her. Mm-hmm. This thing around like this shame of like not knowing or how things were like 5 years ago and being in that same situation. Like, I don't necessarily want to like bring it up again. I mean, I want to acknowledge like I don't want to bring her there if that's not where she is in a couple of days.
Yeah. Got it. So I think that it's probably still on your mind because you feel like it's important for her. Is it just your guilt of not, or feeling bad that you didn't address it, or is it because you feel like it's an important piece for her?
Well, I just feel like, I mean, shame is just so powerful and all-encompassing, mm-hmm. so I feel like it's important to look at, or else it's mm-hmm. going to keep getting in the way. And yeah. because now that we're talking about privilege and basically how she wants to kind of like punish herself to undo her privilege, I'm like, okay, there's a lot of deep stuff here.
Yeah.
That is related to shame.
Yeah. So what I would do is I would, at the beginning of the call, before you set intentions or as you're setting intentions, I would just say to her, you know, I've been thinking a lot about our last call. And I just want to acknowledge that you brought up the piece about shame, and we didn't really go deeply into it. And I, you can just say that, or you can say that that was a miss on my part, you know, if you want to add that in, but you don't have to. And then say, you know, if that's not where you're at today, we don't have to go there. But I would at some point like for us to go deeper with it and address it, because it is so important and I do see it coming up in so many of the themes that you're bringing to the table, and it's just so vital for all of our evolution, you know, to be working with our shame, and just ask her, you know, is that something that you would like to look at as part of today? So that way you're acknowledging it, you're bringing it up, you're ready to go there. But if that's not where she's at on the call, you can both just bookmark it for when it is an appropriate time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's lots to say about going into shame, but I do want to say this to you and for everybody. You guys have heard me say this before, but I just can't stress it enough. When we're working with shame, whether it's our shame or with our clients, a place where we can really get messed up is that we conflate the voice of the inner critic with the voice of the shamed one. And we think that they're one and the same, but we're not. They're not. The critic may be the shaming voice, but that is different than the one that is ashamed. And what I've found is that it's vital to, usually if someone is like a good practitioner, a great practitioner, they know enough to address the inner critic or the shaming voice. But to really go deeper with it, you want to also address the shamed one, the one that feels ashamed. There's so much more to say on that, but you can let me know if it lands.
Yeah,
for
it
now.
Sounds like it. Yeah, that totally lands in something that I need to think through a bit more.
Okay.
I don't think we have time, but is there anything like in Sacred Depths that you could point me to around like the shame? Would it be similar to like befriending your fears?
You could definitely do a befriend your fear process with it, or like an altered one for sure. What's important is to engage with and dialogue with the one that is feeling the shame.
Okay.
Yeah. Good.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, Tammy, I'm coming back for you. Such a full call today. We're still not quite at 2:30, and I feel like we've been through so much. Tammy, you there? Are you there, Tammy?
Oh, okay. Sorry, I was on mute. You talked away. Thank you. Sorry, my son missed his class because I was too busy. But anyway, so I heard what you said, and it inspired me a little bit. So thank you for kind of going there with me, and I'll kind of work on that.
Okay. Why don't you sit with it? I know that you and I were going to connect on another piece on what's happening on Saturday.
Right.
Sit with this piece, and then we can kind of we can talk through all the pieces.
Okay. I mean, I feel like I can do a CTA in some way.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be that you know all the details yet either, you know, but you can speak to, like, what the spirit of the next round, what, you know, is going to be, and why someone would want to step in, and what some of the results that they would want to get. But you can let them know you're still working out the details, but still invite them into something, like invite them to let you know that they're interested and they want to have a conversation about it, even without laying out all the details.
Okay.
All right.
So it's just an invitation to put it out there, to let them engage with it and come forward and tell me, like,
yes,
there is something calling them.
Yes.
Okay. And to witness that, so then they can't back away.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, and look at that. We did it all in 90 minutes. Like I said earlier, I feel like we've been through so much on this call. Thank you, everybody, whether you brought a question forward or you were present and listening and taking in. Just thank you for showing up. Just beautiful call. Let me know how you're doing as we move through the next week. Keep me posted, and I'm sending you all a big hug. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.